Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OPAP 9-month 2016 Interim Management Statements conference call. Please note that a PDF presentation for the results is now available on OPAP's website, www.opap.gr, under the section for Investor Relations. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to the Executive Management of OPAP SA. Mr. Cope, you may proceed, please.
Thank you very much, and good morning, good afternoon, or good evening to everyone. I'm glad to welcome you to OPAP's Q3 2016 Investor Conference Call. For today's call, I'm joined by our CFO, Michael Hoost. And in terms of the running order, Michael will first take you through our Q3 results and a summary of the latest economic trends. I will then provide an update on our progress in the last 3 months, including the recent developments with VLTs. We will then be available for any questions you may have. Michael, over to you.
Thank you, Damien. Hello, everybody. I apologize, I'm a bit sick, so I hope you will be able to understand me. So I guess that we all agree that Q3 was an interesting quarter when it comes both to our figures but as well macroeconomic situation. The reason for that is that in Q3 2015, it was very, very, very bad quarter for Greece, which was heavily affected by the uncertainty caused from the bank holidays period and the capital controls. That's why GDP Q3 2016 increased by 1.2% year-on-year, reversing the negative trend of the previous quarters. And that's why retail sales rose sharply in July, which was the first month of capital controls last year, only, of course, to return to negative growth territory in August and September. As for the future, although it's fair to say that most economic figures are at admittedly very low levels, and the base effect growth scenario may materialize, we note that the pension cuts and additional tax contribution from individuals will inevitably further burden disposable income and private consumption. Amidst this environment, OPAP reported material revenue growth of 6%, thus bringing the 9-month year-to-date figures exactly at the same levels as last year. We feel this is an achievement taking into account that our benchmark, which is private consumption, was actually down almost 2% for the same period. In contrast to the GGR, EBITDA in the 9 months and 3 months period decreased by 28% and 18% respectively year on year. This drop is mostly a result of the significant increase of the GGR contribution from 30 to 35% as of the January 1st this year. As also mentioned in our press release, when adjusting for this increase, the like-for-like EBITDA in 9 months actually declined only by 3%, and that is despite the 6.4 million of one-off cost mostly related to the VLT arbitration that hits profitability for the third quarter. As a side comment, you may have noticed that some of our key cost items were up in the third quarter. This increase can be, in a nutshell, explained by four major reasons. The first one is the horse racing, which is a loss-making business, and it's still at very early stage of operations. The second reason is the one-off cost already mentioned related to the arbitration. The third reason is marketing cost, which in Q3 2015 was very, very low due to the fact of the capital control and due to the fact that it didn't make any sense, basically, to market in this very difficult environment last year. And this accounts almost for 4 million, this difference. And then the fourth reason is, finally, the increasing payroll, which is indicated by us in the previous calls, is rising due to the continuous enhancements of the company workforce and upcoming introduction of the new projects. Further down the road, net profit declined by 40%, while after adjusting for the GGR contribution, net profit would drop by lower 21% at 38.7 million. As for the balance sheet, our cash pile amounted to 187 million, and our net debt position came at 167 million euros, which we find as a satisfying, taking into account a distribution of 0.92 cents a share, which is 293 million within 2016. Going forward, we stick to our commitment to distribute the bulk of free cash flow back to the shareholders, should no new significant investment opportunities come. Fortunately for us, there is many investment opportunities that Damian would mention later in his speech. So there would be definitely some increase of the capexes going forward. Jumping to a quick review of the group's segments, lotteries growth reached 8%, and that is despite the Joker unfavorable jackpot rollover for the third quarter. However, we were luckier in October and November, so there was again jackpot reaching over 13 million euros, and this partially offset this negative performance year to date. With regards to Kino, Kino was doing fine, but we need to note that basically we launched last year in November, we launched Kino Bonus, and the initial hype which was there in November, December 2015 would be hardly reached, you know, at the current level of performance of that game. Hellenic Lotteries also posted material growth, or Scratches and Passive also posted material growth, reaching 23% year-over-year, which was actually the highest across all our segments for that quarter. The reported uplift came as a result of both the easy comps in 2015, as some of you may remember. Scratch tickets were the product which took the hardest hit during the bank holiday period, but also it is a result of improved marketing campaign and improved product mix and distribution actions that helped the game recover quickly. Finally, sports betting stayed down year on year, declining by 2.6% in terms of GGR. Being an exception across our portfolio, it's clear that the game remains on a slight downward trend. The good news is that we are determined to proceed with product improvements in 2017, such as SSBTs and other changes. However, this is something that Damian will focus on, and such, I pass the ball over to him. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Michal. I realize that a Q3 update is typically more of a trading update only, but I would like to provide you with a brief summary of our overall strategic progress in the last 3 months. On the 31st of August this year, I set out OPAP's 2020 vision and the 8 strategic priorities on which we are focusing in order to deliver that ambition. In the short presentation, now available on our site, I've provided updates against each of these priorities. It's fair to say that of the 8 strategic priorities, the last on our list, entitled Building a Healthy Relationship with State and Regulators, was probably the one that the majority of investors, shareholders, and analysts have been most focused on in recent months. Taking a government to the International Court of Arbitration is not a decision to be taken lightly by any organization and clearly reflected a broken relationship. That is why we are pleased with the recent approval by the Hellenic Gaming Commission on the 1st of November of a new framework agreement for VLTs. This allowed our board to decide to restart the project and to significantly reduce the size of the arbitration claim. Although I believe that we still have a lot of work to do in this area, we are certainly encouraged by the recent VLTs decision and, in particular, by the more pragmatic tone in which our conversations with the HGC are now taking place. We continue to maintain an open and regular dialogue and are looking forward to further constructive communications. As for the VLT's regulation itself, I believe that this new framework secures public interest in revenues, contributes to the process of tackling illegal gaming activity, provides for strong, responsible gaming policies, while also allowing for the economic viability of this new business activity. In relation to policies around player protection, the regulation remains, by international standards, amongst one of the strictest, as it requires the issuance by OPAP of a player card with full player's identification, without which playing VLTs is simply not possible. Moreover, a new feature was imposed whereby players are being permanently and clearly informed on their screen of the total time and money spent. Around the world, such measures have only been adopted by a handful of other countries. Now that the regulation has been approved by our team, led by Vyas Karantinos, is very much focused on the prompt implementation and deployment of the machines. This involves the rollout of 16,500 VLTs within the next 18 months, or more specifically, the deadline set by the Hellenic Gaming Commission regulation of the 1st of May, 2018. Originally, OPAP's plans were focused very much on deploying these machines across a network of gaming halls, each of which are allowed to have a maximum of 25 machines. However, we have since decided that we will also deploy VLTs across a large number of shops in our network of OPAP stores, with a maximum of 3 VLTs allowed in each shop. The latter is clearly similar to the successful UK model, where there are a maximum of 4 FOBTs allowed in each licensed betting shop. The overall deployment of legally licensed VLTs is a brand new development for both the BUP and the Greek market, so we will be analysing our performance carefully as we go along, and we will be fine-tuning our rollout strategy based on our learnings. We are currently finalising the rollout plans, and so we do not yet have a confirmed split or ratio of machines to be spread between gaming halls and OPAP stores, but we will be able to share this with you when we announce our full year 2016 results in March. In terms of timing, as you know, we have around 90 gaming halls that are close to being ready, and already we hold in our warehouses almost 9,000 machines. We are now in the process of concluding our mapping, securing new premises, and taking all of the other steps necessary to execute the rollout as smoothly as possible. For the OPAP stores, we are identifying the optimum rollout timetable, and this will exist in parallel to our gaming hall rollout, whilst we will, of course, maximize any synergies of these similar streams of work. There's no question that this deployment is one of the largest projects in Greece and as such will command a significant amount of our management time in 2017. Nonetheless, we are naturally excited to be finally entering the implementation phase of this investment and expect the first pilot locations to go live in January 2017 with the full rollout timetable to commence by the end of Q1 2017. Thereafter, we expect a relatively straight line deployment rate until Q1, Q2, 2018. I would also like to briefly touch on our progress in a few other key areas. Starting with our retail network under the leadership of Jan Karas, we've made good progress across each of the three areas of focus, our shops, our products, our services, and our people. We're now finalizing our plans for 2017, which will include the necessary upgrade of much of our shop technology infrastructure, for example, new routers, cables, and better connectivity, in order to enable the arrival of VLTs and other products and services. We're also in the final stages of planning with our partners for the rollout of self-service betting devices across our network. This will transform our current sports betting offer and provide a much more engaging experience for our customers. Exact numbers of terminals and a better idea of phasing will be shared with you once that vendor agreement has been concluded, and we will certainly be able to provide much more detail at our full year results in March 2017. When it comes to the people, our people in our network, my team and I have spent considerable time meeting many of our hardworking agents across Greece and also in discussions with POEP, the union that represents our agents. Like all small businesses in Greece, our agents are facing tough times, and OPAP remains focused on providing them with the best chance of success. This success will come from an improved relationship between OPAP and our agents, which ensures our interests are fully aligned. This new relationship will provide for a more modern, dynamic, and customer-centered operation, which will support and reward both the dedication and entrepreneurial effort of our agents. We expect to make progress in the business relationship between OPAP and the agents in the next few months, and again, I expect to be able to provide more details of this in March. Turning to technology, I said back in August I wanted to transform the role of technology within the group, and we remain very much on track to do so. Our RFI process to identify the right long-term technology solutions and partners is coming to an end, and we expect to finalize our decisions before the end of the year. This will provide modern, best-in-class solutions for all of our existing activities, plus provide the foundation for future multi-channel or omni-channel strategies. With the rollout of VLTs, SSBTs, and key platform upgrades, our new CTO, Michele Fasella, and his team have a busy couple of years ahead, but we are confident in our ability to deliver this change between now and the end of 2018, which will provide the foundation for much of our future growth. Our digital revenues remain a disappointingly small part of our overall operation, and our offer is still much less competitive than we would like. As stated in August, we will be transforming our digital sports book by no later than the end of 2017, well ahead of the busy summer of 2018, which includes the Football World Cup in Russia. Plans are underway, and again, we will be able to provide further details in March. As for the online licensing regime, we are encouraged to see the HGC add a significant number of names to the list of blacklisted websites in the last few months. OPAP's position remains clear. We have exclusive rights, and as I have stated previously, we will take any steps we believe to be necessary to protect our company and our stakeholders. On our desire to create a world-class portfolio of products and services, we've made good progress in addition to the obvious news of VLTs and our advanced planning on SSBTs. In September, we also announced our agreement with Inspired Gaming, the leading provider of virtual sports betting, to launch their products across both our shop network and online. Integration work has already started, and we expect the service to go live across our network of shops no later than Q2 2017. Based on the experience of other markets, notably Italy and the UK, we expect the introduction of virtual products to contribute to overall GGR growth in our shops, net of any substitution, but we will not be providing any specific guidance at this stage. Finally, I'd just like to touch on the group's important CSR activities. Although OPAP before privatization had historically contributed significant amounts to various causes, OPAP is clearly now a private company, and as such, we have discretion over the CSR activities we choose to undertake. 10 days ago, Greece enjoyed the 35th running of the Athens Marathon, run on the original route from Marathon to Athens, and this year the total number of participants across all of the races was over 50,000. As the official sponsor, we were keen to leverage the huge awareness of the event and direct this towards one of our major CSR initiatives, the renovation of the two largest children hospitals in Greece. By virtue of a comprehensive and truly innovative digital and social media effort, we created the engagement of over 200,000 people. And thanks to this network, our ambassadors, partners, and other third parties, together with our people, we successfully raised €3.3 million, which we will be investing in the further renovation of the hospitals. By any measure, this was a truly impressive achievement and is testament to the importance we put on our strategic priority of committing to our communities. In summary, I believe that we have made good progress with a number of our key strategic priorities. However, we are entering a very busy period of change in 2017, and so we will be ensuring that we keep our focus very much on day-to-day operations while successfully delivering the various programs of work. I look forward to being able to provide you with more detail across a number of areas in March next year. With that, I'm concluding our opening comments, and we're now ready to address any questions you may have. Thank you for your patience and your attention.
The first question comes to the line of Mr. Draziotis Stamatis of Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there, and thank you in advance for taking my questions. You actually addressed several things with your presentation. Two main things I would like to ask, if I may, please. The first one has to do with capex. You kind of alluded to higher capex in the future. Could you please provide some granularity as to the planned capex spending for 2017 and whether and what this will relate to, i.e. do you have anything more concrete you can share with us regarding, for example, the self-service betting terminals? And the second question would be on cash management. Could you maybe elaborate a bit on this 80 million amount referred to as loan granted to third parties? What is this instrument, and what will the benefit be or has been in terms of the income earned?
Yeah, thank you for the question. It's Michal. I am taking this question because it's financially related.
Yes.
So with regards to the capex, unfortunately we cannot be too much specific because we are now in the phases of the business, preparing of the business plan for the, let's say, period of the next year, and but as well for the period of covering the whole strategy 2020. But what we can say is that definitely you could see in the last year there was not so much capex because we were waiting for the VLTs and we were rather chasing a court way than the business way, so we were not able to invest into that project, and now this is changing. So with regards to the main capex that is ahead of us, we need to prepare the infrastructure of the shops, improve the connectivity of the shops to accept basically all these new features and products that we plan to launch. So it would be definitely capex basically across the whole network, and it is about few of thousands euros per shops, and it will be somehow staged within next 2 years. The other major capex would be, as you mentioned, the SSBTs deployment, and there we definitely would go with some, again, a few thousands machines to deploy in stages into our shops across within 2017 and 18. And you could probably know that the cost of one machine could vary between 2,000 to 4,000 euros, so it would be again significant investment. Then the last not least is VLTs, in which basically we restart the whole project, and as Damien said, we basically reform a bit the deployment model, so we would deploy not only in the gaming halls but in the majority of the shops. This investment and rollout would be again staged within the next 2 years, and again you are talking about few thousand euros per shop of investment into that project. So I think you could somehow sum it up to the numbers, which would be tens of millions euros. Like maybe many tens of millions euros in the next 2 years, yeah. But we don't have a specific number yet. Is it clear?
Can I follow up a bit on the last point with regards to the capex required for the VLT deployment in the shops? So you are talking about the necessary refurbishment in the shops, which you intend to cover so that these can be adjusted so that there is enough space for VLTs.
This investment would be probably borne by the agents, but what we are talking about is the IT technology that needs to be there.
The technology, okay. That's clear, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the other question was about the fixed investment. So it was the short-term instrument for a limited period of time of, let's say, 4 months. And it bore the interest of around 8%, so it was a good investment from our side.
That's great. Sorry, very short last question regarding VLTs, the subcontracted machines. Actually, is there a plan as to when you will proceed with an RFI for these machines?
This question I will hand over to Damien.
Are you talking about the sub-concessions?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, I think you're aware, under our license, we're obliged to launch this as a tender, and we're now in the process of preparing this. I mean, obviously, there's quite a lot going on around VLTs, but we know what our obligations are, and so that process has started.
Sure, and last follow-up, is it, I mean, should we expect the deployment of the subcontracted machines to kick off after you have finished with the entire rollout of your own operated machines?
I think we're expecting parallel, but it very much depends on the timing of the tender process itself, but we'd expect it to be around the same time.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
The next question comes to the line of Koutesis Iakovos of Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My first question has to do with the VLTs. I would like to know how many, what would be the exact number of the VLTs that you plan to install by the end of 2017 out of the 16,500 that you are going to operate yourself. And taking into account the fact that you are going to install a large part of this or part of these machines to your agencies, how you are going, what are the actions you are going to proceed to avoid the potential cannibalization of Kino? If I remember correctly, a Kino bonus initiative was launched in late November of 2015. So what are the actions, what are your plans related to this? And second question has to do with if you have any plans to further leverage your balance sheet in 2017, and despite the fact that as far as I understand you're going to have increased capex due to the investments you refer to, if you have any possibility for additional capital returns in 2017. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. It's Damien here. I'll take the first one and then Michael can take the second one. On VLTs, I can't tell you the exact number at the end of 2017 because we're still working on the plans. I mean, I'm not hiding anything. And what I tried to give was as much guidance as possible to say we've got a deadline of the 1st of May 2018. We're clearly not planning to be rolling out right up until that point, so we'll have some kind of safety zone, if you like, towards the end of the period. We're doing a pilot in January, and we'll start sort of the full run rate of the rollout from the end of March. So I think you could literally do a straight line. That will give you a pretty good guess. I think the only thing you're missing is the split between machines in shops and machines in gaming halls. And again, not hiding anything, but there's a number of moving parts there, and we're still finalizing the exact numbers. Second related question on VLTs around Kino cannibalization. I mean, look, in every other market where VLTs have gone in, there's been a net growth in gross win, GGR, or whatever's calculated. We expect the same. Yes, we think some of our Kino customers will enjoy playing machines. We also think some of our other customers, sports betting customers, and other products will also play machines. So overall, net-net, we expect there to be a significant positive contribution. There's no specific rate that I would share with you now that we think of in terms of Kino cannibalization.
And the second question with regard to the leverage, as you pointed out, rightfully pointed out, there is this capex needs in the next 2 years. So basically, we are definitely thinking that we would cover this capex need by additional leverage, and as we said, and as I would repeat, the rest and the bulk of the free cash flow we would distribute to the shareholders. We cannot now comment whether we would basically increase the leverage significantly just to distribute. I don't have any clear plan like that, but definitely we would consider covering the capex at least by the increased leverage.
Thank you very much.
Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
Great, thank you.
The next question comes to the line of Lewis Vaughan with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, afternoon. One on SSBTs. Have you selected the supplier for those? And if I understood that correctly, you expect to roll out all of those by the end of 2017, as well as most of the VLTs. Is that correct? And should that product give a sort of significant boost to the range of things that you can bet on in Stehima? And then a second one on the negotiations with the agents. Is the discussion there over changing the basis for commissions to a GGR basis, or is it something else now? Thanks.
Thanks, Vaughan, for both of those. I'll take them. So SSBTs, yes, we're still in negotiations with the vendor, so we can't share any details of that, but we're a long way down the road. In terms of rollout, I think I said on the last call that we were really looking at the mix of, if you like, traditional stand-up terminals and what are described as compact terminals or tabletop or laptop terminals. There are no other operators that we found anywhere in Europe who have a significant mix of those because tabletops are relatively new. We think they'll be particularly popular here. But we're still doing some work to assess what ratio of traditional terminals and tabletops we will be rolling out, and we're talking to our likely provider about that. In terms of the timing of the rollout, I think we see it being a very positive improvement to our sports betting offer generally, particularly on live betting, but even on pregame as well. The bulk of our sports betting, as you're aware, in Greece is football. And if you look at other markets, particularly the UK, but other markets as well, sports betting terminals drive higher bets, higher lines per multiple, and higher margins, and significantly more attractive for customers than OTC activity. And I think that will be the same here. Whether we will do the whole of the network by the end of 2017, I think that is unlikely. We clearly have a 2018 World Cup as a target, so I would like to see that a large proportion, if not all of the network, had some kind of self-service devices by that time. On agents, to be honest, there's a long list of things that we're talking to the agents about. Commission is definitely one. As you know, base and commission as a percentage of turnover restricts our ability to be a bit more competitive and flexible on our products, particularly sports betting. But there are a number of other issues, quite a long list. Some are more contentious than others, but we are very hopeful that we will get a change in that relationship in the next couple of months that will be good for OPAP, but also good for the agents.
Great, thank you.
Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Petrova Victoria with Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on VLT agreement. Just for our understanding, could you please explain, do you look at VLT machines operating in these VLT halls and VLT machines operating through agents, these two, three machines? Would they have different economics? How should we look at it? Is there any profile in differences, or should it be the same machine sort of performing the same at the same at the similar commission? What is the difference, and why have you made this decision? Because it is something you were not considering initially in the VLT project before.
Thank you, Victoria. Thank you for the congratulations. It's a long way to go yet, so you can save the congratulations maybe for the 1st of May 2018, assuming we roll out all of our machines successfully by that day. But I appreciate the sentiment nonetheless. Look, I think the gaming hall model was certainly the established view for a long period of time. And I guess it became apparent partly because we were spending more time talking to our agents and listening to their requirements, but again, also myself and others looking at the UK market and other markets where there is a successful combination of VLTs with other gaming products. So we see there are probably going to be different customer types, some that go to a shop where they can play maybe multiple products, and others that want to go to a gaming hall where with up to 25 machines from a number of different vendors, it's more of a broad but more focused gaming experience. We think there's good business opportunities for both. The machine mix, the product mix is something that we're obviously looking at very closely, and again is very much part of our planning. Like I say, it's driven by very different customer profiles. In terms of the business model, again, I think you'll be aware it's a significant difference between an agent who wants to have an OPAP shop license and someone who wants to be a partner with a gaming hall. So it's a completely different kind of economic model for them. For us, we think they're good business opportunities for OPAP in both models. So we'll be looking for partners for gaming halls. And we're also already in discussions with a number of agents who are keen to have up to three, and most of them would like three VLTs in their own stores.
Thank you very much. It's very clear.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Draziotis Stamatis of Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi again. Just a quick follow-up on this on the VLTs and the rollout in the current agent outlet. Just wondering, what portion of the outlets would you say are qualified basically to be considered for this project, given you know the space requirements?
That's exactly the kind of question that we're asking ourselves right now. We've got a long way down the road in terms of looking at the size of the store, the economic opportunity that we think the store provides for gaming, the quality of the agent, the desire of the agent. There's a number of different factors, and you know, if we were having this call in a month's time, I'd be able to give you probably a lot more information, because as you can probably appreciate, although we were ready and have been ready for some time for the rollout of VLTs, we've only had, I think, just over 3 weeks since it was formally approved. So we're still very much in planning mode, and I hope you understand that.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Kourtesis Iakovos of Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, I would like to ask about the online. But as far as I understand, you mentioned that from your side you have monopoly rights on the online gaming. So assuming that, let's say, in 2017, the Greek Gaming Committee will proceed with the issue of more licenses to additional providers, would you seek to be compensated, if I could say, in other ways, or what would be your reaction, taking especially your reaction on the VLTs case, if you could clarify, please?
Okay, I'm not sure how much clarification is needed. Sorry, first of all, thank you for the question, but I mean, I think I've been pretty clear, and I think the company's been pretty clear for a number of years now. We're very clear in our position that we have exclusive rights, and we've consistently said we will take any steps necessary. I don't think it's right to speculate now on what may or may not happen next year and how our board may or may not choose to react. But suffice to say that we are pretty clear in our opinion. And that position hasn't changed for some time now.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Clark Michael with Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Apologies if these questions have already been asked. I'm coming late to the call. I just want to know about how many gaming halls you have ready to go from day one and how many are in the pipeline. That's my first question. And also, just did you make any comment on the subcontracting of the additional VLT machines once you're done with the first 16,500? Thank you.
Thank you. Better late than never, don't worry. So we have about 90 gaming halls that are, if you like, almost ready. They need to be sort of made ready properly to be open to the public, but are certainly in terms of the construction and everything related to that, they're ready. And we are, again, starting the work to assess exactly how many more gaming halls we hope to have by the end of the 18-month period. Again, I've mentioned on a couple of calls now that we're still finalizing what the ratio will be between gaming halls and our shops in terms of the allocation of our machines. Sorry, what was the second question again? I missed that.
About the subcontracting of the...
Again, I did pick that up on an earlier question. Just to say, we are obliged under our license to launch this as a tender process, and we are in the process of preparing this now.
Great, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Lewis Vaughan with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, a couple of follow-ups on VLTs again, please. Do you have any idea what the net win per day is for the black market machines that are currently operating, please? And then secondly, just on the accounting, does the full depreciation amount on the 560 million license kick in straight away when you kick off the process, or is it phased in with the rollout of the machines? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. With regard to the illegal market, you could imagine we are not in the position of some great data on the illegal market, but from what we know and from some indications, it could vary between 50 to 70, 80 euros. It depends really on the shop. The second questions with regard to the depreciation, we have agreed with our auditors already that the depreciation would not be the straight line, so it would be the line which would reflect the deployment and the economic, let's say, economic ramp up of the business. So the depreciation would not be straight line. So it should accommodate the business evolution.
Got it. Thank you.
The next question comes to line of O'Neill Gavin with ICBC Standard Bank. Please go ahead.
Great, thank you. I just had one question in relation to CapEx. You mentioned that you might fund the additional CapEx required to roll out the VLT programs in 2017 through additional leverage. I was just wondering if you could paint a picture what that would look like and how the leverage might be layered in as you roll it out through the beginning of 2018.
Pardon, I think we didn't fully get the question. What about 2018?
Sure. Let me restate it. You mentioned the additional CapEx required for the rollout of the VLT could be funded by the company taking on additional leverage. My question is, how much more leverage do you think will be required to fund the CapEx spend?
We would definitely try to cover the majority of the CapEx, if not all. And about the phasing, I cannot be specific because I don't know, because it depends on the instrument that we would use for funding. Yeah. So for instance, if you go with some banking financing, we could have some loan line, let's say, a debt line that would allow us to fully reflect the staging of the CapEx. If we go, for instance, with the fixed income bond instrument, there is not this flexibility. And I cannot be more specific because I don't know yet. Yeah.
Understood. And what is the amount of that additional CapEx?
I think we answered this question in the beginning of this call. Yeah. So It's not 100% clear yet because we are working on the final business plan. But I gave the indications, let's say per capex category in the beginning. So I think you would need to spend a bit more time on calculating that. But we cannot be specific because we don't know neither fully. We don't know full info yet.
Excuse me. There are no more questions registered at this time. You may now proceed with your closing statements.
Okay, everybody. Thank you very much for your time. I hope we've answered your questions, but if not, you know where to find us and look forward to talking to you all in the new year. Thank you.